朋友们，大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》。根据特朗普总统签署的行政命令，从9月27号午夜起 ，TikTok 必须从美国的网络应用商店下架。一名联邦法官27号发布了临时裁决，阻止这项禁令，而商务部表示将会遵守裁决。下面我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄洋溢的报道。
TikTok 的中国母公司字节跳动在上个星期三正式地递交了法院的文件，以违反了美国宪法第一修正案言论自由的理由来这个寻求阻止特朗普总统行政命令当中对 TikTok 的禁令。而在星期天的时候呢，位于首都华盛顿的卡尔尼寇斯法官星期天做出了临时的裁决，阻止了这项禁令，但是他没有阻止行政命令当中有关于11月12号开始禁止与 TikTok 以及其母公司字节跳动进行交易的规定。随后呢，美国商务部也针对法院的 TikTok 裁决发出了声明，声明当中说，2020年9月27号华盛顿特区法院针对第13942号行政命令做出全国的临时禁令裁决，限制了商务部长对于 TikTok 还有字节跳动的禁止交易规定。这涉及所有该公司的所有服务，包括透过网络手机应用商店对 TikTok 手机应用程式进行维护、程式代码或软件更新。这项行政命令完全合乎法律，并且正当的敦促国家安全利益。政府将会采取立刻采取行动来遵守这项裁决，但是将尽全力捍卫此行政命令以及部长贯彻此行政命令可能面临的法律挑战。那么在一个星期前，特朗普总统说他原则上支持美国公司甲骨文以及沃尔玛来收购 TikTok 并且控制其美国业务的一项协议。之后呢，商务部宣布推迟了下架 TikTok 的禁令达一个星期，但是之后 TikTok 的中国母公司字节跳动表示，在 TikTok 以及美国公司根据协议要成立一个新的公司，也就是 TikTok 全球之后呢，字节跳动将会拥有新公司80%的股权。对此，特朗普总统表示，只要字节跳动拥有新公司的控制权，就不同意交易。此外，美国商务部也宣布对于中国另外一个社交媒体微信的禁令。9月20号的禁令即将生效之前呢，一名联邦的法官毕勒做出了临时的裁定，阻止特朗普总统要求谷歌以及苹果公司从星期一零时开始从应用软件的城市的商店当中来移除微信。那么商务部当时表示呢，将会提出上诉。美国司法部则在上个星期五，也就是9月25号，要求做出那项裁决的毕勒法官，在此案仍在法院当中诉讼之际，允许美国政府能够立刻禁止微信。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
2020年总统大选辩论中的第一场将在本周二在俄亥俄州的克里夫兰举行，这将是特朗普与拜登的三场辩论中的第一场。与此同时，选民们也有机会审视两人的政策理念上的差异和相似之处。
欢迎来到俄亥俄州克里夫兰，在本周二，特朗普和拜登将在这里进行第一次总统候选人辩论，进行面对面的交锋。目前美国多个州已经开始了提前投票或是邮寄选票，那么在本次的辩论中，两党候选人的表现如何，也可能对选民的选择产生及时的影响。
特朗普总统说，他为这场辩论做的准备就是每天照常做事。前副总统拜登表示期待辩论，并要追究特朗普的责任。
周二晚9点在克利夫兰凯斯西楚大学进行的辩论将包括多个热点议题，比如特朗普和拜登过往的记录、新冠疫情的问题、最高法院大法官人选、种族问题、经济和选举的完整性等等。但也有民主党人表示，气候变化问题也应该被纳入其中。
I imagine that President Trump is going to hold no stops, that he's going to pull out all the punches, that he's going to brag about what he's done for the United States as a whole, and especially for some of those impoverished and hurting communities. I think he's going to brag about that, and he should. Biden really doesn't have anything to brag about. So I think it's going to be a lot of like childish finger pointing and maybe even name calling.
I want them to discuss the issues that separate them.And I dearly want Biden to come across calmly, gentlemanly, but firmly.
Anything that might happen during the debate that might change your decision on who to vote for?
There will be nothing during the debate that will change my vote. Nothing.
俄亥俄州被称为是选举的风向标。从1960年开始，拿下俄亥俄的候选人最终也都成为了大选的赢家。近些年俄亥俄州进一步转向保守，但是今年双方的选情仍然呈现焦灼的状态。位于铁锈地带上的俄亥俄是制造业大州，由大量的工薪阶层白人选民、制造业者、蓝领工人。制造业工作的流失对这些群体造成了冲击。特朗普对振兴美国制造业的承诺，帮助他在2016年以8%的优势赢下了俄亥俄。而从民调来看，今年在特朗普曾经占优势的郊区，包括克利夫兰的郊区，他领先的势头要低于4年前。目前两位候选人在俄亥俄的支持率可以说是不相上下。中国议题是否会出现在周二的辩论中也值得关注。在政治观点对立的今天，全面的系统的遏制中国的威胁可能是两党少有的共识之一，而具体的政策层面上会有怎样的不同，可能会在周二的辩论中得以表现。
美国总统特朗普与前副总统拜登的辩论将于周二在俄亥俄州的克利夫兰举行，而在俄亥俄州，选民们对两位候选人的看法差异很大。
支持特朗普的旗帜是俄亥俄州这个社区的第一个政治标志。
I debated whether to put it up or not because I was afraid my house might get shot at. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not living in fear.
但是在街对面的一位拜登的支持者和他有着44年的交情。
Whoever is going to be in charge just needs to lead us and be nice and smart and democratic.
俄亥俄州是总统选举中的关键州。没有哪位共和党人拿不下俄亥俄州就赢得总统职位的。特朗普总统在2016年以8%的优势赢得了俄亥俄，但是今年的民意测验显示，他与民主党挑战者拜登的支持度相差无几。邻居之间，有时是家庭之间成员的意向有所不同。
Half of my kids are Trump supporters, so we don't invite them over anymore. No, they can't come over until next year. So.You know what I mean? So we say we aren't going to talk about politics, even though we do, and then we stop it.
在全美范围内，特朗普和拜登支持者的两极分化会严重影响家庭。凯斯西楚大学的怀特教授研究美国政治与总统职位。
Republicans are more upset about the possibility of their child marrying a person of the same gender or who is transgender.Democrats are much more upset about the idea of their child marrying a Republican.
I'm going to get a wheel put riding with Biden, too. I think I'm going to decorate the whole front lawn. No,
how about hiding with Biden?
多洛雷斯·詹蒂尔说，他与帕蒂·卢西的友谊超越了政治。
I like Trump. They like Biden. So what? One of them is going to win.
距离他们住址不远的凯斯西楚大学周二举行首次总统辩论，预计将引起争议。
Vice President Biden will presumably be trying to walk a fine line of some sort, but he also wants to find ways to make Trump look as bad as possible, which may mean baiting him.
克利夫兰的辩论场地准备就绪，等待两人讨论他们的从政记录、最高法院、新冠疫情、选举安全和经济局势。另一个话题是时常引发骚乱和抢劫的种族正义示威。
That's why I'm voting for President Trump. Because it seems like the Democratic Party has not condemned any of this.
I just think Trump says, I think he's mean. That's what I think upsets me. I think he says really mean things.
一项新的民意调查显示，俄亥俄州2/3的选民都认为政治因素使家庭和朋友之间的关系紧张。许多人说，他们因此避免谈论选举。而星期二，他们还是让两位候选人在这里进行真正的辩论吧。美国之音普雷苏蒂，俄亥俄州克利夫兰报道。
在周二的总统大选辩论中，除了两位候选人，还有一位重要的角色也会在场，那就是辩论的主持人。
尽管焦点集中在候选人在辩论过程中的发言上，但台上还有第三个人，他对发言的内容和时机有很大的影响力。辩论主持人的工作不仅是发问。
But I think the most important job of the moderator is the follow-up. right, when they give an answer or there's a debate occurring, right, to know the appropriate questions to ask in the follow-up.
无党派的总统辩论委员会负责挑选杰出的季辩论主持人。美国公共广播公司已故新闻主播吉姆·莱勒主持总统辩论的次数最多，一共12次。
If somebody says, you know, I've got a 7-point plan for that, he would say, well, give me your first 3 points.
维吉尼亚大学米勒中心的玛丽·凯特·卡里参加过一个莱勒主办的关于主持辩论的研讨会。
He says, if you ask a long and complicated question, you will get a long and complicated answer. And so he liked things that said, for example, you know, what's a good deal look like to you? Or do you agree with that? And things like that.
卡里说，莱勒在辩论前先和候选人会面，跟他们解释他将如何执行规则。他还特别注意向观众说明规则，以取得他们的认同。
And if candidate A started violating the rules,and talking too long, or not letting other people speak, or hamming it up and, you know, taking the stage too much, the audience would start to turn on the person because they knew the rules. And that would make it much easier for the moderator to say, excuse me, that's a violation of the rules, let's now do X, Y, and Z.
要是一个候选人的话跟事实不符怎么办？
He does not consider it the moderator's job to suddenly jump in and be a fact checker.He thought the moderator should pause and say, I'd like to give you an opportunity to clarify what you just said.
In 2012, there was a huge controversy with Candy Crowley. She fact-checked Romney during the debate.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
You know, it had sort of been a tense back and forth between the two candidates, and she intervened to try to sort of move along the conversation. And, you know, there was a huge outcry on the right for her doing that.
2020年的辩论主持人已经选出，福克斯新闻的克里斯·华莱士将主持9月29号举行的第一次总统竞选辩论。华莱士在2016年曾担任过一次总统辩论的主持人。史蒂夫·斯卡利是有线电视公共服务频道 C-SPAN 的高级执行人和主持人。第二次总统辩论由他主持，将采取市政厅会议的形式。第三场辩论将由全国广播公司 NBC 报道白宫新闻的克里斯汀·维尔克主持。副总统候选人之间仅有一场辩论，将由《今日美国报》华盛顿办事处主任苏珊·佩奇主持。玛丽·凯特·卡里记得担任过12次总统辩论主持人的吉姆·莱勒提供的最佳建议，那就是避免喧宾夺主。
The quote that I always think is, if anybody is quoting me, the moderator, afterwards I have failed.
美国之音记者史蒂夫·雷迪什，华盛顿报道。
美国总统大选已经进入倒计时，特朗普还有拜登聚焦摇摆州进行紧锣密鼓的竞选活动。两人围绕新冠疫情、种族关系、医疗保健，还有选举公正等议题，同选民进行交流。接下来，我们回顾一下上周大选相关的新闻。
特朗普总统提名了来自芝加哥的法官巴雷特来补位刚去世的最高法院大法官金斯伯格。巴雷特在保守派人士中广受尊重和好评。特朗普要求参议院尽快通过，称大法官的补位事关11月大选的结果。
I think this will end up in the Supreme Court, and I think it's very important that we have 9 justices.
而民主党希望由11月大选的胜出者来进行提名。随着由他州共和党籍联邦参议员罗姆尼表示支持尽快通过，特朗普的提名将在参议院获得足够的票数。如果他成功，随之产生的以6-3的保守派占多数的最高法院将影响深远，不论他连任与否。民主党人担心一个保守派的最高法院将影响到医疗健康保险、女性堕胎权和同性恋者的婚姻权益，并削减劳工和环境保护。我们来看选民的情况，两位候选人都开始在几个摇摆州马不停蹄地开展竞选活动，战况十分焦灼。 佛罗里达州的特朗普支持者明确表示，他们要抵抗美国的左派势力，也有选民是拜登为阻止特朗普的战车。
Sometimes chemotherapy is necessary for cancer. Trump is chemotherapy. We will accept whatever Trump is.
Biden wouldn't be my ideal candidate, probably. It's just that he's not Donald Trump.
在2016年，特朗普以微弱优势险胜的宾夕法尼亚州，拜登希望这次能够夺回。他在该州的斯克兰顿长大，据当地选民称，城市中心大多数支持拜登，而城外的农场则有不少支持特朗普的标志，这也体现了摇摆州选民的复杂现状。接下来我们来回顾两位总统候选人在本周的竞选活动情况。特朗普总统一直希望废除由前总统奥巴马签署的平价医疗法案，即所谓奥巴马医保。本周四他再次到访北卡罗来纳州，并宣布了他的愿景，名为美国优先健保计划。
Under my plan, 33 million Medicare beneficiaries will soon receive a card in the mail containing $200 that they can use to help pay for prescription drugs.
但白宫还没有公布这笔钱从哪里来以及如何执行的细节。特朗普总统的讲话中还谈到了保护已有健康问题的患者、就医流程的价格透明化，以及要求制药厂商为美国顾客提供和海外一样的优惠价格等。活动后，他签署了总统行政令，表示会确保已有健康问题的患者能够保留他们的健保计划。此前，民主党总统候选人拜登曾批评，如果特朗普废除平价医疗法案，会导致数百万人在疫情期间失去健保。民主党总统候选人拜登在本周到访北卡罗来纳州，这是自民主党初选以来他首次回到这里。他希望可以激励该州的非裔选民为他投票，称非裔选民的投票率是他入主白宫的关键。
Given an opportunity, an equal opportunity, there's not a single thing that an African American can't do that a white American can do that a Hispanic American, an Asian American, I mean, not a single thing.
拜登承诺将通过提高住房拥有率以及推动其他政策来帮助非裔美国人。2016年，特朗普在该州以4%取胜，但目前的民调显示两位候选人不相上下。
I'm tired.
种族关系是今年美国政治的一大导火索。周三，美国多个城市就肯塔基州非裔女性布雷纳·泰勒之死一案的审判结果爆发抗议。拜登发表声明，呼吁解决滥用警力的问题，并谴责暴力抗议。特朗普总统对审判结果表示满意。
发明了一种微型机器人，它可以控制更为复杂的计算机，并且为新的医疗方式打开了大门。
这些微型机器人宽40微米，最长可达70微米，跟一只肉眼看不到的单细胞生物草履虫差不多大。但对制造它的研究员来说，最重要的不在于机器人的大小。他们说，将计算机的芯片放在面积不超过一根头发的小横截面上，已经是可能的事。伊泰·科恩教授是这个研究的主要作者之一。他说，要让它动起来是个挑战。
So the big question of how do you build microscopic robots has been, you know, how to get the brains, which are little tiny microchips, to be able to talk to the brawn, which are the movable appendages of a robot. So the first part, which is creating very small brains, that's been done.And that's what we achieved in this paper. We developed very, very thin, nanometers thin, layers of platinum that when you apply little voltage signals to them, they are able to bend. And now you have legs that you can move these computer chips around with. So what this paper showed was with a very simple circuit that you could actuate these legs and get a robot to move. And now the next stage of this is to essentially build a full-blown computer chip that interfaces with these legs and tells these legs via voltage signals when to actuate and how to move around a particular surface.
目前，这个用铂金和玻璃制造的机器人还无法发挥作用，但科恩说，这是概念的证明。
At the moment, they're very simple. So all they do is respond to laser light, and that allows them to essentially inch forward. So they're, like you say, very simple machines. So really, this work represents a proof of concept that we could link them up to electronics. And once they're linked up to electronics, they could be made to function very accurately. They could detect their surroundings and make decisions based on those detected signals. And that would allow them to then have control loops that guide them in the directions that, you know, we programmed them to.
这种机器人是由康奈尔大学开发的。这项研究发表在《自然》杂志上，还处于非常早期的实验阶段。但科恩相信，未来几十年，他将为新形式的医学治疗开通道路。
This is all in the future. But imagine that you have a patient lying in an operating theater, and the surgeon is trying to clear a brain of tumor cells that have metastasized. That's not something that they're going to be able to do with a little robotic tweezer, one cell at a time. So what happens if instead they reach for a syringe and inject a million of these robots? And if these robots have the brains to be able to detect chemical signals from those tumor cells, they could scurry up the chemical gradient and then chop up the individual tumor cells. But that's something that you could only do if the brains were really located on top of the robot, in the robot itself, so it was able to make decisions locally.
研究人员承认，虽然这个机器人很小，却很原始，而且计算能力不大，但他们认为他们的集成系统有朝一日可以使这些微型机器人变得更聪明、更迅速，还可以进行量产。
酒精测试仪很快将可以被用来测试新冠病毒，我们一起去了解一下。
加利福尼亚州的设计师已经打造出一种侦测大麻痕迹的呼吸分析器。猎犬实验室的首席执行官麦克林恩说，把相同的技术加以调整，可能将呼吸分析器装备成对抗新冠病毒的利器。
We've spent the last 6 years and about $50 million in R&D to develop some pretty unique breath technology that allows us to capture and analyze breath in such a way that we can detect just incredibly small concentrations of molecules.
猎犬实验室测试了大约50人，有30多个参与者在鼻拭子检验后测出新冠病毒阳性反应，但其中只有7到8人被呼吸分析器测试出阳性。
And this is absolutely consistent with what we know about super spreaders, where about 20% of people with COVID-19 can spread it very, very widely to dozens of people, whereas the other 80% really don't spread it at all or spread it very minimally.
林恩承认这只是初步研究，但他认为这个早期发现意义重大。他说，在科学家努力对抗病毒并开发疫苗之际，这种呼吸分析器可帮助追踪病毒感染者，以确认那些最容易传染别人的病毒携带者。美国之音记者阿拉巴萨迪，华盛顿报道。
对于艺术家劳拉·斯普兰来说，病毒的微型世界一直让他着迷。他也是研究新冠病毒的生物技术实验室的驻场艺术家，我们一起去看一看。
从远处看，他们像是勾花店。这种手工艺品在过去的几个世纪中都发挥着装饰和保护家具的功能。
When you look closer, you realize there's something just a little bit off. The doilies reveal themselves to be camouflage for the more deadly viruses lurking in the pattern of each form.
自从新冠病毒爆发以来，我们大多数人被迫关注到一个超出我们感官范围的领域。 那就是微生物领域。艺术家罗拉斯普兰在他的作品中经常进入这个领域。
There is extreme beauty in the form of these viruses, but there's also a lot of fear that we're certainly experiencing right now with COVID-19.
斯普兰在成为从事科学、技术和文化交融的艺术家之前，曾研究过生物学。2011年在美国疾控中心博物馆展出的一系列有关正确洗手的技术，探讨了我们与微生物的复杂联系。
They're floating all around us, but they're also part of us. I was interested in letting the viewer consider a different relationship to these microbes.
作为 IM 生物科技公司的驻场艺术家，斯普兰探索了一个生物技术实验室的工作原理，研究新冠病毒抗体，包括用于建模病毒的软件。
I'm really interested in seeing how I can leverage this software to do something that hasn't been done with it before.
斯普兰跟研究人员分享他的工作。
They actually kind of see these images that they take for granted every day in a new way.
对于我们其他人，斯普兰希望他的动画能够让人们的心情从全世界关注的新冠疫情中得到短暂平息。美国之音迪布尔，旧金山报道。
在其他的重要消息方面，
This is the first prototype that I made, and I hadn't quite gotten the hang of making this. I made it as if a girl would want it, with a little unicorn in the middle. So this is when it clenches, so the child can actually hold something with it, and it's not completely...
My name is Masa Riyar. I am 13 years old, and I founded my company Limitless Limb last year that makes 3D printed, customizable, and affordable prosthetics for children with limb loss.I read a book about a girl who lost her leg in an accident, and in the book she couldn't afford a prosthetic limb. And I was like, how expensive could prosthetic limbs be? So I did some research and found out that they're extremely expensive, and most children can't even afford them. And that really made me sad, because I was thinking about all the kids who live in war zones, who lost their limb and can't, you know, buy another limb because it's not available to them.And so I had a 3D printer, and I had this idea, so I decided to make 3D printed prosthetics that are a lot cheaper, and they can be customized since they're 3D printed.
There is a video of me building my first hand. Like, it's really long. It was really difficult to get all the pieces to fit and get them in the right spot, but I managed to figure it out, and after a lot of test tries, I got my first prototype.
When I had the idea for my prosthetic limb, I consulted with an orthopedic surgeon, and these are the books that he gave me so I could figure out what I needed, what elements I needed to really make the prosthetic work. Then after that, I researched more online and really narrowed down my prosthetic design and printed it.
I had to pitch my business, Limitless Limb, to the Young Entrepreneurs Academy Investor Panel.I ended up winning the grand prize. I got $1,500 toward my business, and I used that to buy a new 3D printer that can make my prosthetics more functional and print them at a faster rate. So my goal with Limitless Limb is to help equip every child with limb loss with a functional limb that they can use and so that they can feel whole again and not feel different from everybody else.
When I'm not working on my business and 3D printing, I love to draw because it really relaxes me. And when I grow up, I want to go into art and design and be an architect.
But I still want to help people, and it's always been my number one priority to help people. So even if I am an architect, I'll still be helping people and on the side with maybe 3D printing different things now.Organs and hearts, I don't know.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。